Hello and welcome to another episode of On My Last Eggs.
I think it's a middle class conversation at the moment. It's great, it's a conversation anywhere. You know, it doesn't really matter where it starts, but it's important that we do bring everyone into the conversation because it can polarise certain groups. What one group of people think about the menopause is right for another group, because it's not.
I'm Rachel, and like millions of other women worldwide, I am navigating the wild throes of perimenopause. And over the next few weeks, I'll be lifting the lid on what that whole messy, confusing journey entails.
When you think about the menopause and the awareness that's been done, fantastic work. But women have got to get organised now. What do they want? What's the next step?
Well, I'm very excited to welcome to On My Last Eggs a woman who has the longest description in LinkedIn ever, pub landlady, writer, actress, blogger, menopause advocate and creator of Her and the Change in Me. It's Debbie Baisden. Hi, Debbie.
Hi there. Do you know what? I never even thought of it that way. I think I should go for a Guinness Book of Record one.
I love it. It also makes me think I don't know quite where to start with you because you are so many things. If you were just a pub landlady going through the menopause, that'd be interesting. Or if you're just a woman going through the menopause, that'd be interesting. But as it is, you've got all these different things. What I want to start with, I often start saying to people, how did your menopause start? Tell me when you first became aware of it. But I'm going to say, what was life like for you before your menopause? What was an average day like for Debbie then?
Okay, so I've always been a very busy person, always. So between pubs and we set up a company doing outside bars, we built a house, we had a young family at the time, and always on the go. So when my perimenopause started, I thought I was just doing too much and I'd overdone it. We all do it, don't we? And we think, oh, am I getting a little bit older? Is that what's happening?
So you were starting to get overwhelmed with that amount of busyness. Yeah, it wasn't working for you anymore.
Well, I kept thinking, have we took on too much? And to be fair, Rachel, we had taken on a lot at the time. We're building a house, we'd started a new business, you know, and we'd moved out to a rural area. So you're driving time and everything. And I really did think, oh, yeah, I've took on too much in. That's what's going on in my head. And when I really felt my lowest low and I went to doctors and I felt absolutely awful, I felt depressed. I wouldn't say suicidal, but it was close to it. I really felt low. And I remember going to doctors and I said, look, I know it's the menopause because I don't feel like this normally. And this is going back to that point. And my cycle stopped very quickly. They literally stopped 1 month. I had a dodgy period. I was always regular and it just stopped. And it was like, bang, I was in it.
And how old were you when that happened, Debbie?
48.
Right. Okay. So relatively young.
Yeah. And I'd started teaching.
Oh, right. OK. You do like to take on a lot.
Yeah, exactly. We come out of the pub because I didn't want the boys growing up in a pub environment when I was small. And this opportunity came up and I was just overwhelmed. And I thought, this isn't me. I wasn't coping very well with it. It wasn't affecting what I was teaching. I hope it wasn't.
You'll have to ask those kids, that poor lost generation.
Because they used to say to me, Deb, I think you're in your change.
Brilliant. From the mouths of babes.
Yeah, exactly.
When you went to the doctor and you said, I recognise this, I think I'm menopausal, what was the response?
Oh, it wasn't good. They said, send you for a blood test and came back that I wasn't. Then I was offered antidepressants. Skip forward a year. Unfortunately, what had happened, I went back and I said, look, this is not me. And they said, oh, they made a mistake. I'd been given the wrong information, basically, that my levels were very high and I was right in the menopause, even stopping that month. But that happens, you know, and that's happened with our generations of our parents and, you know, women before that. It was because they told me it wasn't that I found it even more difficult. And I thought, this is me. I've just gone to that place where I'm not going to be able to cope anymore with things. So that was a hard year. I can only say that was a very hard year.
Did you take up a new career in that year, something else?
No.
Skydiving instructor then for a while?
I was doing Dolly Slateman, and I think that's what was great about Dolly, really, because I think, you know, even though I was having an anxiety attack every time I got on stage, which I did.
So let's talk about your comedy, because you said you started comedy up relatively late in life, I guess.
So the comedy turned up because it's literally a true story. We got offered to put a beer tap into the EastEnders set and I was so excited. Yeah. I didn't get into Queen Vic. They were shut. I had to go into the nightclub, which was like a, I was so disappointed. It was like a broom cupboard.
Was that what did it used to be called? E20 or something? What was it called?
Yeah, I can't remember now what it's called. But for me, I had a full intention of getting to the Queen Vic, didn't I? But we got there.
Of course you did.
I got a new jumper. I had my hair done because I thought I'd be like Lady Gaga. It's you. We want you in EastEnders. Obviously, they didn't give a monkeys. And the next day, I talk about this in the show, actually, I saw, you know, the guys that used to play Heather and Shirley, the two actresses there. And I saw them in Lakeside Shopping Centre. And I thought, oh, my God, this is a sign. This is a sign from above. So I went and got drama lessons, etc. And then I had a panic attack. I rang a woman in Southend that got acting lessons to go to acting lessons.
So were you menopausal at this point?
Oh, I think probably. I think there's a big indicator here, that or midlife crisis. And someone said to me, why don't you do stand-up? And Funny Women, for me, I don't know if you've heard of Funny Women, it's a fantastic platform to explore comedy. It's a nice environment. Started doing that, and then Dolly was born, because Dolly came out of being a pub landlady that could react to the lads on a way that I normally wouldn't, because I'm a bit of a prude, believe it or not, and they would have a bit of banter and I'd be like, oh my God, I've got to get out of this conversation, but Dolly would call it on.
So Dolly was already a woman of a certain age, and then how did your comedy change when you kind of thrust into menopause? You know, how did that impact and sort of dovetail in with the comedy?
I think for me, Dolly became a bit of a voice for maybe working class people. I wouldn't say essentially, but it was a platform to actually create a breakdown of boundaries. And let's talk about this, because comedy is a great factor, as we all know, that it does break down boundaries, and it makes subjects a lot less taboo because it's taken the mickey out of it. So she seems to be able to communicate with all levels of people, or whatever job they do, or from whatever class they're from. You know, I've done some great gigs. I did a good gig at Unison head office, and you know, you can imagine that was a very multicultural group I had there to perform to, and they loved it. They loved Dolly. Dolly was the favourite character for them, because we all know a Dolly. Mm. You know, there's always that woman you know in your life who doesn't care what she says. You know, she doesn't care if she's not loved, because she thinks she is anyway.
Yeah. It's interesting as well, though. I think it was Karen Arthur, who has a podcast, Menopause Whilst Black, who was one of my guests in the last season. And she said menopause gifts you honesty. Yeah. And she's absolutely right. And it's a little bit like what happens around giving birth, when stuff happens to you that you can't kind of control, or, you know, it's happened to your body that you can't really take control of. And you kind of get to a point sometimes in that where you just, it's not that you don't care anymore, but it's so hard to hold on to everything and stay in control that you just kind of go, bleh. And I think menopause does that a little bit. You kind of come over the brow of a hill sometimes and you go, ah, I don't care anymore. I can't hold on to anything anymore. I have to be honest. I have to go and pee behind that tree that is much narrower than me in a park where everyone can see me.
Yeah.
Because I don't care anymore. I've just got to do it. You know?
That's an interesting, I'm quickly writing notes now, because that's quite an interesting sketch.
Oh, you should see the places I pee. You know, when it was lockdown and you couldn't nip into a cafe or a pub or anything, we live on the canal. And so we go for a lot of walks on canals.
Yeah.
Well, canals are very devoid of things to pee behind. You've got a towpath and that's it. And I get to say to my partner, stand in front of me. He's like, you know, people can see there's a woman crouching behind me having a pee. Like, and I'd be like, yeah, but I'll just do it really quickly. He's like, I'm literally watching a man cycle towards us that he can see you peeing. I'm like, I'm nearly finished. By the time I decide to go, it's like a hydrant, you know, it's very fast.
Niagara Falls, my mum would say.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway, back to honesty. So Dolly was able to, you know, voice things that you maybe weren't able to voice.
Yeah. And also I think she was like, I'd always wanted to do it. You know, I think for me, which I didn't realise till a bit later, the menopause became that sort of part of your life that it was, you know, it's going to happen, but you do not know you're going to feel the way you do. And then you're all of a sudden thinking, oh my God, am I going to run out of time to do what I want to do? Mm. And then you think, right, now it's time and what you want to achieve. And you think, right, I've got to work with this. I've got to get it. I've got to just get it going. And I think menopause is it can become a platform. Right, let's grab some positivity. I can't give in to this. There is other things that I want to do, you know, not feel washed up and things like that.
And you talk about it being important that, you know, Dolly's a working class character. Mm. Do you think that certainly when it comes to getting menopause support, and menopause is becoming more visible and more spoken about, do you think that's quite a middle class place, though, that that's happening in.
I think it's a middle class conversation at the moment. It's great. It's a conversation anywhere. It, you know, it doesn't really matter where it starts, but it's important that we do bring everyone into the conversation, because it can polarize certain groups. And there are certain groups that it will take a long, long, long time to infiltrate. And that should be respected. What one group of people think about the menopause is right for another group, because it's not, you know, people have their cultural references as well. When you think about the menopause and the awareness that's been done, that fantastic work. But women have got to get organized now. What do they want? What do they want about this awareness being done? What's the next step?
There are two things that I want. One of which is, I want every woman when she gets to 45 to get a letter from her doctor, surgery, saying you may be experiencing some of these symptoms and they may be perimenopause. If you are, and if you're struggling, come in and see us. I think that invitation is so important. You know, not asking to do some medical procedure or even make an appointment if you're not feeling any of those things, but it's just a flag that goes off. Because sometimes we need that invitation. We need that official. We need a person in a, you know, in the right uniform to tell us it's okay to ask for this thing. So that's the first thing. And the second thing I want, Debbie, is a bloody Spice Girl to come on this podcast and talk about their perimenopause. When that happens, when Scary comes on here and tells us about a dry vagina.
We want Scary.
We want Scary. When she comes on, when Baby says she can't remember, she keeps putting the keys in the fridge instead of the handbag. Everyone will be listening then we'll have some old girl power.
Yeah, but it's true though, isn't it? And it's because, you know, I remember when I had friends going through the menopause and they'd be going to me, oh dear, I feel like this. And I would go to them, la, 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 la. I can't hear you. Yeah. Because it is very true. It's people that have gone through the menopause, or even actually, do you know what the real truth is? It's people going through the menopause and the symptoms are the only ones that got any time to listen to other people going through the menopause. That's so there's that massive generation before you that hasn't got, and you're just repeating history, they haven't got a clue what's about to happen. And you don't want to frighten the life out of people. But at the same time, I mean, education in schools, without doubt, I mean, it's trickling through now, isn't it? I think this is the first year they started to put on some of the school curriculums. But what about, there's a massive chunk of people that have left school this year. Yeah. A simple thing I would want, is, and I saw this while I was teaching, is that just even intertwine it with tutorials for students between 16 and 18 in college or in their sixth form. It's a 5-minute class, a 5-minute chat even. And then they go home knowing they're not the only hormonal person in the family. Yeah,
that's a good
they
point.
Could go home and say to mum, do you know what, or whoever the carer is, do you know what, mum, we spoke about this in class today, maybe this is what's happening. And it might get me responded with a shut up. But the seed has been planted, like you said about the letter. It's there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I want to know why. You know, one of my biggest questions are, Rachel,
yeah,
why do we as women still go to the hairdressers to get our hair coloured, put a rubber mat round our shoulders with another nylon gown and probably another towel on top of that, and not say a word when our head is blowing off with a hot flush? We're paying for that.
So let's come back to the show. So you've got Dolly, and then you've also created Her and the Change in Me, which is another show, and you've been working with universities. So talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so what happened was, I'd had Dolly and I'd done a show which needs revisiting actually, called Red Hat No Knickers, and that was like an autobiographical piece about Dolly. And then I started teaching and I thought that, do you know what, there's a show here, because no one was speaking about it was all taboo. And I kind of planned around with characters. I thought, I knew it had to be Dolly, had to be in it. And I got a proposal together. And I was very fortunate. My niece works at Leicester University. So I had to present to a group of academics.
Amazing.
Well, I look back at it now, I had like 10 academics. It was very nerve-wracking. And I was applying for funding, really, to get the show off the ground and to see if they thought it would work. And I genuinely believe it's really good for research purposes as well. And hilariously, behind me, my projector, you could see Kat Slater, Bette Lynch, I think Dolly Parton was in there somewhere. My argument was, I guess, my presentation was all about that it's about reaching all areas of society and not just those that can afford to go private. And they went for it. And when I first did the show at Leicester University, what I used to do, I used to use a program called Slido, which is great for audience interaction. So I'd put up there on the Slido, okay, so who's heard of the menopause? and they'd go on their phone and you'd see it rise or drop, whatever. And then we'd say, right, okay, what symptoms have you ever heard of or have you experienced? So you get the dry vagina one comes out, of course, the hot flushes, palpitations. And what was great to see, you could see it in the audience, that people were looking at it and they realised, you know what, I get that. But they've always been too embarrassed to talk about it or too nervous. It was great that you could have that opportunity and people could actually get involved and not having to contribute themselves, but they could identify it.
Is it currently, you know, living in any capacity? Are you touring it at any point?
The tour now is due to start February through till probably April of next year. And I want to get to Edinburgh next year. Obviously, with COVID, everything just went up in the air, didn't it? It was a bit crackers. So.
Well, I think it would be rude not to bring Dolly into this conversation, Debbie. So let's hear a bit of her now.
But the menopause is a time of readjustment. I'm not talking about a wedgie. It's a bit of readjustment and education. But I mean, it's hard being a woman, isn't it? I mean, it is hard, isn't it? Not that, love. That's not hard anymore. But it is hard, isn't it? You know, we had Brexit, didn't we? That was all going on. Then we had the menopause, didn't we? You know. And then some selfish bastard invented Dry January.
I'm really amazed at how unrepresented the menopause is in any kind of creative cultural output. You know, in the first season, you know, it took me a while to find an artist who is reflecting the menopause in their work. You know, you've got some wonderful people. You've got the team behind, you know, Julie Graham and the team behind Dumb Breeding, which I don't know if you've seen that. It's on YouTube. Oh my God, you've got to see that on YouTube. Hilarious. Dumb Breeding. It's just on YouTube and they're short episodes and they're I believe it might be coming to proper TV at some point soon. Okay. But it's hilarious. So it's just a whole, and they did it in lockdown, so it's really clever. But it's a series about five friends who all happen to be menopausal, so it's not really about menopause, but menopause comes into it a lot. But there's so few, you know, there are films and things where the characters are like the Golden Girls or whatever, but they never talk about the menopause. They never talk about, you know, a terrible period flood when your period starts going mad, and but it's just not being spoken about. You know, I've been waiting for Madonna to write a song about the menopause. I mean, surely she must have been through it.
It's a sign of ageism, isn't it?
Yeah.
And because we've got such a terrible attitude towards age in the West, it's almost as if it's
especially for women,
we're still having people that we're supposed to aspire to and look like, and you think, you know what, I thought you put all that to bed, your late 20s, 30s. In 40s, you know, you can find yourself a little bit. You just relieve the kids are a bit older and you can get out. And 50, you've got the menopause. And you think, well, do you know what? I'm done with that now. We've got to get other role models that we can go, do you know what? It's not about what you look like. It's what you're bringing.
I just always think that it's a real shame that, as you know, you could draw a graph that looked kind of like a cross. And, you know, on the left-hand side at the top, is your looks, and that line goes down diagonally to the right hand side at the bottom, because your looks go, you know, very, very loosely. I mean, it's in the eye of the beholder, but your looks are going downhill. But at the bottom of the left is your intelligence and your wisdom and your knowledge and your experience and all of that stuff you've been through and learned. That's at the bottom side, and that's going up. You know, that's going up, but we don't see that. We don't value that. We only seem to value how people look, or we mostly seem to value how people look. And that is a measure. And actually, we need to be measuring, you know, the more years we are on this earth, the wiser we are. One of my contributors, Paula Edwards, said, we're lucky to be in menopause because there are some women don't make it to menopause because they're not here long enough. Like, the longer we're here, every year is a gift, and the wiser we are getting, the more experience we're getting. And that isn't valued as much as it should be, because people are worried that they don't look how they used to look. They pour so much energy into that. And it's not our fault. You know, it's a construct that we're all kind of sucked into.
We've all bought into it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really hard to let go of it. You know, it's really hard to sometimes to look in the mirror and not go, oh, I just quite like to not have those lines anymore. Like, I look old. Yeah, it's like, sure. I am old. Yeah. And so I look old.
But then there's a thing about feeling young, isn't there? If you feel young, you feel like you can take on the world. And there's that. So that's another balance, isn't it? Mm. Back to your point about artists, the only show that I could find when I decided I was going to start writing Her and the Change of Me was Menopause the Musical. And I went to see Menopause the Musical, and it's a very, you know, it's a great light-hearted show and singing, but I didn't learn a thing. I didn't come out of there thinking what my ovary's doing.
Yeah.
I didn't have a clue what was going on. Another awareness factor. Brilliant. But what do we do with it? What do you do? What happened? Where's the support?
I like that you've made me think, what do we do with it? It's all very well having awareness. What are we going to do with it? What do we want from it? Yeah. What next?
You know, we're in a very important place now for generations below us that are coming through. Mm. What should we have in place for them?
What do you want to see, Debbie? What should our legacy be to hand down to our daughter?
I think a legacy should be is that, no, if I think of my young niece, I think no woman should ever come to the menopause and not have some kind of idea of what is going to happen. They won't know it physically, but it can be compared to puberty without a doubt. The education, without a doubt, has got to be put in place. And I loved your idea about the letters. I think that's superb. It just gives that little flag factor. I would like to see menopause on the table more in the arts. You know, let's do some storylines about it on EastEnders. You know, on normal daily basis that you can talk about it.
I think that's the thing as well. You know, you don't want to be picky, but you don't want to see a story arc where somebody is having a really terrible time with their menopause or one particular thing, like they have to have a hysterectomy or, you know, I'm not saying I'm not, well, those storylines aren't welcome, but you're right. You just want somebody saying, oh, my brain fog, what did I come in here for? You know, you kind of want that. It's normal. It happens. It might be frightening. It might be something we don't always know how to deal with. It might be something we need help with, but actually it is just a part of what's going to happen to us, and let's see it represented.
Exactly. And celebrate women of a certain age. Don't just try and put them away in a cupboard that they don't exist, because we do. And actually, do you know what? Turn of the century, we was living till 50, and now we're living till 80. It's a big chunk of life that has got to be lived.
Yeah.
And I think in the workplace, the most important thing is acknowledgement. Is it this does exist? And if you want to speak about it to your line managers, there should be things in place. And that's happening. You got organisers like Henpit that have been doing that for ages, you know, that they're all working towards it. But again, let's take it out of the middle class areas. Mm. You've got to bring it down to where women are still wearing nylon uniforms. Mm. We're still going to the hairdresser, like we said, they don't want about rubber mats around their neck. But I think the female conversation is huge on health.
Do you overhear menopause conversations in the pub as a landlady? Are people talking about menopause?
Where we are is quite a rural community, and there'd be a lot of farmers. And because there are ladies that come in there, and I know for a fact they would never have spoken about this before, but it was funny. There was a few of them in there the other week, and one was going, I'm in the menopause! I'm in the menopause, aren't I, Deb? I said, yes, love.
Do you want another shandy?
Yeah.
Good luck with the show. I'm so delighted that it's going to be touring.
Touring, I've got to tell you, so touring's going to happen from February.
I look forward to watching you from afar to see what it is you do next, because I suspect there's many more incarnations of Debbie Paisden. There's probably a post-Dolly as well somewhere along the line.
Could you imagine? Dolly on the Zimmer frame.
Exactly. Yeah. Dolly tearing it up in a care home. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on My Last Day.
I loved it. Thank you.
That was Debbie Paisden, comedian and menopause campaigner. On next week's episode, we'll be talking to co-chair of Women at the BBC North, Erin McTague. You can follow on My Last Eggs with new episodes released every Monday from Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get yours. And you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for listening.